presence of God here tonight. Could you feel it in the room? I was just kind of wandering around during worship and just sort of saying, hey God, where are you and what are you doing? And I was just wandering through the back there, and I just found this really sweet pocket of God's presence. I don't know how best to describe it. You know when you're walking along, you're like, hey, God is here. This is really sweet. And just like sitting there and just being like, God, you love hanging out with us and you love coming and being with us. And I just really felt God's pleasure here tonight. He loves it when you guys gather together. He loves it when we as the body of Christ gather together. And I really have this sense of, you know, we're here and the Holy Spirit is inside of us. If we know Jesus, if we're walking as a Christian, the Holy Spirit is inside of us. And I'm like, here's this ton of people gathered in this room, and there's like this big pool of the Holy Spirit. And I just feel this excitement, like who knows what he's gonna do tonight. Tonight, I believe I'm kicking off a few week series on fruit, which, you know, I was, when I emailed, was it Jess or Noelle, I was like, is this the fruit of the flesh? Or, you know, there's something really like kind of intense and sort of exciting sounding, but I don't think it is. It was kind of like fruit, and I'm kind of going to go with what I felt God chatted to me about this week. And so what I was, you know, coming up with, like, what's the, you know, the title for tonight's message, God? You know, because you have to have a title. And it could be, is God a horticulturalist? You know, which, you know, is something that you may want to study. There's quite a few verses, actually, I've been looking at them this week. But I'm going to stick with, why does this keep happening to me, God? Because that's a much more common question that I ask. You know, why, God, are you a horticulturalist? It's not often on my lips. But why is this happening in my life? It's much more often on my lips. So I'm going to go with that question. And, you know, ever feel like the same things just keep happening to you over and over again in your life? You keep going into debt. You always feel really fearful and anxious at exam time. Not just like, oh, I'm a little bit nervous, but like, I'm gonna go and be sick. You know, do you, okay, weird guys always hit on you. those of you at the back, my husband did just put his hand up for that one. Rejected by friends, you know, you just kind of, you join a friendship group, it's so promising, and then everyone's just like, oh, it fades away and you're left alone. How about you feel totally emotionally disconnected in life and you feel like your emotions can never connect? How about you feel like you've been in so many relationships but none of them ever kind of work out and they always fail and you just crash and burn? How about you start a business and then it fails? Any pattern in your life, anybody with me on this sort of like, things happen, and then they happen again, and then I'm sure it's different this time, but it's come round for the 14th time. Yeah, that's what I want to chat about tonight, because that kind of stuff is on God's heart. And actually, that can sometimes be a fruit of something in our lives. You know, sometimes we feel like, we think it's like playing does he love me or love me not with God. Ever done that with a daisy? Yeah. Probably the girls, not the guys. You know, he loves me not. I never did it because I thought, well, what's the point of doing this? I just, you know, it's, you know, I would, if I did it, I would count the thing with the daisy and the leaves first and make sure I picked a daisy which had the answer that, you know, that I wanted it to have. But sometimes we jump on the, you know, I do really well at my exams, God loves me. You know, the house that I wanted didn't come through, God hates me. You know, I just got given $50, God loves me. And we base our belief about God's love for us on life circumstances. God's love is, his love for us is the same yesterday, today, or forever. You know, his love for you is the same that you get a $100,000 scholarship, you know, for the university of your choice. at the same day as that you get fired, your belongings thrown at you by your boss, and they say, if you step foot in here again, we will sue you. God's love for you is exactly the same on both of those days. And actually, what we can be running into when we hit that roundabout of that same old pattern is happening again, is sometimes we're running into kind of a spiritual law that maybe is not working with us. For example, if you get to the top of a building and you jump off, you're gonna fall, because the law of gravity is in place. And then, regardless of the number of times you do that, gravity is always going to take effect. Agreed. But there are also some things that are in place in life. God says, honor your father and mother so that it will do well, so that it will go well with you. And sometimes we've made decisions, sometimes things have happened in life and we have dishonored our mom and dad. Maybe they were really abusive to us. And we think, I'm justified in hating them and being really unforgiving toward them. But actually, we're getting into that realm where we're sort of beginning to see fruit from what's in our hearts, because hatred, unforgiveness, all that stuff starts to lurk about in our hearts. And God is really concerned with your and my heart. I feel like this could be a life message. I feel like, regardless of what I talk about, I always get back to this. God loves your heart. He wants you to be a real you on the inside and outside. And he knows that bitterness, unforgiveness, anger, hatred, fear, rejection, all of that stuff is going to poison you, and you're going to start to see fruit in your life that doesn't look good. Are you with me? So, yeah, let's get on a little bit. Now, so when we start seeing these patterns that go around and around and around and around, what do we do? Well, in Luke, it says this. No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. The evil man brings evil out of the evil stored up in his heart. For out of the flow of his heart, the mouth speaks. Basically, what's in our hearts is going to come out. And God likes to use the analogy of trees. I think he really likes trees. He often talks about trees in relationship with us. He talks about branches, he talks about vines, he talks about fruits. He probably talks, about peaches or mangoes. I don't think they probably had peaches or mangoes in Israel at the time. But if they, because mangoes, anybody here love mangoes? Oh, yeah. I think it's like wonderful. Ooh. Although kiwis.
I love kiwis.
Kiwis are good things. Now, say you have a tree in your garden. The little flowers come. Then you expect to get some fruit a little later on in the season. You with me?
Yes.
Now, okay, this year you get apples. Yes. If you like apples. Apples are awesome. We have someone down here who loves, who's happy to get the apples. Next year, we get the little flowers. Then we get the little fruits. What fruit are you going to be expecting from that tree?
Oranges.
We've got someone a little confused over here. Apples. Apples is where it's at. And the reason we're going to get apples is because this is an apple tree. In its DNA, it is apple. It is not going to be another type of fruit. Every year, you can nurture that fruit. You can, put big orange bushes around it. You can speak to it of oranges. You can talk to it about oranges. You can pluck every apple off the tree and say, you will be an orange, you will be an orange. But that next year, because it's got the appleness in it, it's going to bring forth apples. And sometimes when we see stuff in our lives that we don't like, we try and chop off the fruit. I'm gonna discipline myself in, or kind of rigidly do good things in order that thing that I don't like won't come back. Anybody ever try to do that? Anybody fail miserably? Yes. You know, you're like, I remember one time I was just like, I feel like spiritual Christians, they all seem to kind of get up very early in the morning. I am going to be one of those people. And I, for about 4 days, I would get up at 6 a.m. And I am not a morning person. Ben knows this. Of any kind. The first few months of our marriage, he'd be kind of like, are you okay? I'm like, no, this is just me in the morning. I don't talk. I'm not very friendly. I just... And I would just sit in this chair by the window, and I'd have my Bible, and I would have fruit juice, and I would just sit there, and my mind would be this blank, and I would just be like, good morning, and I would read the Bible, I would doze off mid-sentence. I just, you know, I would attempt to rigidly discipline myself into doing this thing, but I just fail miserably at that. There would be times that I would have patterns in my life and I was just like, I'm not going to ever do that again. I'm not going to do it again. Boom. And, you know, I would be chopping off the fruit, but actually because there was still the apple tree root, apples would just come again. And actually, Jesus wants us to deal with what's in our hearts. Because until we deal with the source, the root of stuff that causes reoccurring patterns in our lives, those reoccurring patterns are going to keep on coming round because the DNA for them is inside of us. You with me?
Yeah.
Our aim, Ephesians 3:17, and I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and deep and high and big and fabulous, that was me ad-libbing now, is the love of Christ. And so what Paul's talking about here is that we be rooted and established in love. And that's the love of the Father for us. Father God loves each of us here, thinks we're fabulous, and he wants our roots to be in that. Because, you know, anybody here likes gardening or plants or things? We have 7 people in the room. Woo! I wouldn't say that I love it, but my parents were deep enthusiasts. Most of my memories of my childhood would be like, come on, Sarah, come out and do the weeding. And it will be about the type of soil. Because did you know that the type of soil changes the plant? Some plants are happy in the chalky soil. Some plants are happy in the other type of soil. But basically, if you have good soil, they like it. And so what God's saying here is he's like, I want you to be rooted in my love. Because that's, you're going to kind of, you know, receive that love. You're going to kind of suck it in. And that's about deepening our relationship with Jesus. That's about deepening our relationship with the Father and saying, hey, I want to be with you and I want to spend time with you so that your love comes into me. Now, if we can be rooted in love, I would say this therefore means that we can also be rooted in other things. You with me? You know, if he's praying that we would be rooted in love, what are they rooted in now? You know? Are they rooted in pain? Are they rooted in anger? Are they rooted in fear? And so, I guess my question to you is, what have you been rooted in your life? What has been feeding you? So how do we, you know, you said to me, yes, Sarah, potentially I may or may know of a person who potentially, hypothetically, has a pattern in their life that they may not like. Hypothetically speaking, what would I say to this person that I may or may not know? Well, we've established that if you chop off the fruit next year, apples are going to grow back. So we've tried chopping off the fruit. And this is really where inner healing and healing of the heart comes from. That's a lot of stuff that Ben and I do, that we do at the school ministry, because we realise that relationship with God is more than just trying to do the right thing on the outside. But actually, God wants our hearts. And He knows that everything we do, we choose, we act, we speak, comes out of our hearts. And if you try to divorce your inside and your outside, you can fake it for a while, but usually people can tell and you get really, really miserable.
Yeah.
Mini testimony, been there, done that, didn't like it, not worth doing it. So, you know, you may have tried self-disciplining the fruit away, but it hasn't changed. So what do we want to do? So you've seen this pesky pattern. You know, the red flag has been seen. I would say there are two things that you can tell there is repeating pattern of bad fruit in your life. The repeating pattern. Or intense emotional reactions that are a 10 when really there is a one incident. Anybody else ever had any of those? Where someone's just like, oh, I couldn't make it today. And inside you're like, oh! And you just feel this intense pain or anger or frustration. And you're like, they just said they couldn't make it today, but maybe I'm slightly overreacting, am I? Maybe. And you can feel you have a big reaction, or you just shout at somebody and they've done something really small. You ever done that? And you've just been like, and you're like, wow, where did that come from? There's probably some bad fruit lurking around, and what that means is there's a root to that. And God wants to deal with those roots. I'll tell you a few of my stories. That way you can help relate, and you know, I can be vulnerable and look a little, you can get the inner details of my life. Where shall I start with the story? Okay, a few years ago, which end do I start? Do I start at the top or the bottom? Okay, probably about 8 years ago, I noticed a repeating pattern in my life. I noticed that when I was in high school, towards the end of high school, all my friends were guys. Probably, you know, I had about 6 great friends, they were all guys. And I kind of, you know, I knew girls, and I was friends with them, but they weren't the people that I would hang out with, go out with, you know, be good buddies with. And I was like, that's just because there's not so many girls around, and these are just the cool people I know. No big deal. Come to Toronto, you know, a few years later, about 2 years after that, I suddenly realized all my friends are guys again. You know, I know a few girls. But actually, the people that I hang out with, I go out with, you know, who I'm close with, are guys. And I was just kind of like, oh, that's funny, because now it's not like there's only like 2 girls that I know, but now there's like 50 girls I could know, but still I'm over here. And I was just like, Holy Spirit, you know, this is kind of funny. You know, I wonder why this happened again. And the Holy Spirit was, you know, sometimes when we ask him questions, he's like, finally, I've been wondering when you'd ask me this question, this is good. And, you know, he suddenly reminded me about this best friend I had growing up. And there was one memorable occasion where she told everybody my deepest secret. And when I'd say everybody, I'd say probably a group about this size. And I remember at the time just thinking, okay, I will never trust you again. And I made this decision in my heart. I was like, that's it. And I was angry, I was unforgiving, and I made that decision. And the Holy Spirit just nudged me a little bit. And he was like, Sarah, you made a decision that girls couldn't be trusted and that you were never going to let them into your heart again. I was like, oh, wow. And actually, when, you know, there was probably a considerable amount more emotion that came along with my response, rather than, oh, wow, it's more like, oh, you're so right. And it was, you know, so I was like, oh, I forgive that friend. She really hurt me. But I'm the one being held in bondage now. I'm the one who's held back from actually having really great girl friendships by my pain and my anger and my decision. So I forgive her. And I say, God, I'm really sorry for my decision to shut all girls out. And, you know, would you forgive me for my response in my heart? And wow, would you believe it? Really fabulous, good girlfriends just started like, bing, suddenly I'm like, wow, I can open my heart. I feel like heart connected. I'm not sort of like, stay away, you know, I may know you and be friendly on the outside, but really on the inside, I'm a bit like, get back. And I was like, okay. So that was one instance for me. God was like, you know, this is the fruit in your life. Here's a repeating pattern. And then he showed me right back to where there was a root of pain in me. Another circumstance. Ben always laughs at me because I just find it so hard to type things up on a laptop. My brain works much more in scribbled notes that look like this. Which usually means that I try and speak from about three different pieces of paper. But I didn't have a printer today. Okay. Dating. So Ben and I got married beginning of last year. We've been married like a year and a month. Woohoo! Yeah. Love it! So good. I really recommend it. I would say from a young age, I was really like, I really want to get married. I'm very excited about this. This is what I would like. And, you know, probably at a point of about 3 years ago, I began to recognize that potentially there was a little bit of a recurring pattern in my life. And that would be, guy, me, we go out on one date, maybe two dates. Suddenly, I freak out. And when I, you know, as in my emotions shut down, I'm like, I don't like him. I don't think he's not funny. I don't like him at all. Why am I even doing this? Me. You know, sort of, this is a dramatization of my inner heart. I begin to just, you know, I'm just like, oh my word, I am making a hideous mistake. I can't feel anything for him. All attraction is now gone. There is none. What am I doing? Quick, get out! Get out! So, you know, if that, sometimes that's true. Sometimes you do date somebody and you're like, what was I thinking? For an alien? Process of life. But sometimes, you know, when that's happened maybe seven times, same thing each time around, and actually I think it was when I've begun to date Ben that this pattern revealed itself to me, because I really knew I liked him. But this pattern was this thing of like, me, bail out, leave, run for the hills, you don't like him, you can't feel anything, run, was beginning to exhibit itself again. I was like, have I ever felt this before? This is a question you should ask yourself if you think there may be a pattern. And I was suddenly like, yes, with A, and with oh, this could be a recurring pattern in my life, people. And so I was like, Holy Spirit, I really like this guy. In fact, I've never felt like this with any guy I've ever met in my whole life. And something is going on in me that is threatening to sabotage and destroy this good thing. And I've got no control over it. I'm trying to reason it out of the way. I'm trying to do everything I can. I'm like, Holy Spirit, I need you to help me. What is going on? Boom. Immediately, I suddenly just get this memory of the first guy I ever liked. And I remember, you know, we were kind of, one time he came up to me, and I kind of liked him for a while. And he was like, hey, Sarah, there's something I really want to ask you. You know, can I come around to your house, you know, on Saturday? I was a bit like, this is it. This is it. You know, when you're 15, you feel the intensity of emotion. And I was like, this is it. And my family, my parents were going out, and I was like, go out. Make sure, you know, he's going to ask me out. This is fantastic. And I remember, you know, we just hanging out in our house, and I was like, you know, he's not saying anything. Like, here we are, there's no one else at home, you know, we've been here for an hour and a half. And finally he was like, oh, you know, I just feel like I really want the group of us to get to know one another better and really maybe seek God together on a regular basis. Would you be one of those people? And I remember just being like, oh, I'm like, what? Why are you so intense about something like this? You totally communicated you like me. And he was a very sort of like, oh, thank you, Jesus, that you delivered me from him. You know, oh, really? I would have probably hit him over the head with a frying pan very quickly.
Yes.
And I remember just being so hurt. Anybody with being 15 with intense emotions? No. I was just like, oh, and then I was filled with terror because I told my parents, like, he's going to ask me out. This is the best year of my life. And now I'm like, they're going to come home soon. My dad, for those of you who don't know my dad, the love of outrageous comments that I have of Ben probably comes from my dad, who also, you know, is like, hey, and might just say that very thing. So now I'm like, I am just cut to the heart. He doesn't like me. And now I'm like, so I'm like this terror, like I've got to get to my parents first before they say anything. So I'm sort of like, hi. And then I open the door and I sort of got it closed, and with one hand I'm like, and then I'm like, oh yeah, I'm And I remember we were great friends for like a few years after that. But the Holy Spirit said to me, Sarah, something in you died that day. Your heart, you were so out there and all innocent and hopeful. And, you know, he was just a bit, you know, blind, obtuse, you know, any of those good things. A few years later, he did really like me. And I remember he was kind of like, well, and I was a bit like, you missed the boat. I moved on from that one, my heart a little bit harder, but the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, Sarah, you just got really scared, and now any time a guy tries to come close to you, you're a bit like, oh, they're going to hurt me like that happened before, so just shut down, block out, reject them before they can reject you. And I was like, oh, wow. And I actually cried. I was like, actually, I was really sad that time. Really hurt my feelings, and I repented for the way I'd shut guys out and been so scared that I couldn't allow myself to have a relationship with any of them. And then, wow, wonder that marriage blossom. No, but Jesus gave me a picture that day, and he gave me a picture, and he said, of my heart, and he said, Sarah, would you give it to me? And he said, you've kept it locked away in this box because you're too afraid to let anyone near it. And probably for about 3 months after that, every day I would wake up and I would just be, Jesus, I give you my heart today. I want you to look after it. I don't want to be really self-protective over it. And Jesus revealing the root of that repeating pattern in my life freed me up so that I didn't shut the door on this incredible relationship with Ben. Because the power of that fear was strong enough that it could have sabotaged this. You know, there are a few times where I was almost beside myself with freaking out and being like, I love him, but I just don't feel anything. And that was because I was living out of a decision I'd made several years before. And sometimes that can happen to us. And actually God wants to bring you freedom from those patterns that you've been stuck in. So sometimes we've made decisions, and sometimes it's just bitterness and unforgiveness that keep us locked up. And having relationship with Jesus is more than just saying, hey, I'm going to heaven, but it's about letting him come and bring life to our hearts, so that we can live good life now. We can live fullness of life, so that the fruit of being a Christian and knowing Jesus is shiny. That we're not hiding our lives, our lights, under kind of a big umbrella or a heavy coat, but we're shining with the joy and the peace and the love and the kindness and the goodness. Because when we've got bad fruit, like those recurring patterns I was talking about, it kind of dims the shininess a little bit. Anybody having, you know, I'm too busy freaking out and kind of going, I can't trust you, to actually shine the light of Jesus in me. This week at the school, we had an incredible week just doing all this stuff that I'm talking about tonight. And one of the guys there shared this amazing testimony of he has been in the army for the last 10 years. And about 5-6 years ago, he was in Iraq, and he was woken up in the middle of the night. And they were just like, we're tomorrow morning, we're going through this city, 80 to 90% of you are going to die. But, you know, that's an acceptable rate of attrition, obviously, for this, you know, target, this mission. So, and he was a foot soldier, and he knew, you know, he's going to be right there on the front line. So if anyone's going to die, you know, he's going to be first in line. And he said, basically, his heart totally shut down that day. And so for the last however many years, 5-6 years, he's not really felt emotionally at all. He's just felt like nothing. He's felt like, you know, just like, I'm not really here. And this week, the Holy Spirit revealed it to him. He was like, oh my word, this is what happened. And so he began to forgive, and he began to, you know, break agreement with that decision he made. And he went absolutely bananas. I've never seen anybody just, I mean, he was yelling and jumping up and down and yelling and bouncing around. And later on I was chatting to him, and he's just like, I'm feeling. And he got up and he gave his testimony that night, and he's like, I wouldn't have done this morning. He's like, this morning I would never, like, over my dead body would I have stood up. And he's just like, I'm free.
So good.
This guy for years has been just trapped, shut down, almost like there's no one home. Because he was like, I'm going to die. And he knew he was about to die, so he made a decision that shut everything down. And the Holy Spirit showed him the root of what had been plaguing him. Because, you know, and for some of you, it may even be something like, I can't feel God. I just feel totally shut off from him. And this guy, he's got his life back. And God wants to do that for you. Because actually, he's so good. He's so loving. He's so kind. If you just keep on getting into debt, there may be some decisions that you've made. You know, maybe you're just overspending your budget. But there may be some decisions you've made that are kind of working against you and working against all your good intentions. And being a Christian is more than just going to heaven, but it's about getting free of these things. So one of the things I felt maybe we could do tonight, I don't know about you, but let's ask the Holy Spirit for some of the keys to these repeating patterns that you or maybe your hypothetical friend next to you has been struggling with. Because it's about living it and experiencing, and this is real, and this is for you and me. Now, I'd say one of the big things is actually recognizing a repeating pattern. You can't get free if you can't recognize it. You know, I hate to tell you that. So sometimes it's being open to allow the Holy Spirit to kind of nudge us gently. And he's not about to expose you with a big neon sign in front of everybody. You know, like, look at this person. Look at the bad patterns in their life. No, he is not like that. But he does want to come and speak to your heart and say, hey, have you seen this thing that just keeps going round? Do you want to get off that roundabout? And I don't know about you, but my answer is yes. Because I hated those patterns. They were killing me. They were shutting down my ability to fully live. So, first of all, we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to show us a pattern. Is there something, is there some fruit in our life that he wants to show us what the root is? So, Holy Spirit, I just invite you right now to to speak to us. You live inside us. Would you just come and speak to us? And will you show us any fruit in our life that isn't good, that is causing death in our lives, that is causing destruction, causing pain, causing heartbreak, causing disappointment? Would you come and show us if there's any of that stuff going on? Now, this doesn't have to be you rifling through every, you know, thinking deeply. Often, usually when the Holy Spirit reveals something, it's like, yup! And you just suddenly think of something, it just kind of bubbles up. And one of the questions I'm going to ask is, have you ever felt like this before? Have you ever experienced this before? And just kind of think back, like, oh, has this happened in my life before? Stand up if you're comfortable doing that. And what I'm describing to you right now is kind of how I live, how we live. Just very, it's not like some big deal where you go into a deep prayer closet if you have one, which usually we don't because they're filled with old shoes and bridesmaid dresses. No, I've only got 7 of those. And This is just a normal lifestyle. Ben and I do this in the car. One of the very helpful things about being married is that you have another person who can help point out the reoccurring patterns in your life and the overreactions. And Ben is very good at doing that because he knows me and he's very discerning. And actually it's really helpful sometimes because you're like, no, this is not an overreaction. He was saying it to me last week. He's like, are you overreacting slightly? And I can feel myself getting super defensive. Another good sign that usually something's going on when you get like the extreme defensiveness, and I'm like, oh, it's you, we're together in this. And actually, you know, the Holy Spirit used him to point out something that was in my life. Okay, so what we want to do is just ask the Holy Spirit now to show us if there's a root of this pattern that we keep seeing. Okay, so if you want to, just let's just pray together. Holy Spirit, would you show me the root of this pattern I'm experiencing in my life? I want to be free. Some of you, it's anger. I feel like some of you really related to some of the stories I was sharing tonight, and that some of you have really experienced patterns, especially in relationship, that have really kind of really broken your heart, have really distressed you. And I feel like God's wanting to start you on a journey that's going to bring you into real freedom and to real life from those things. Okay. So what we're going to do now, who here has got felt like the Holy Spirit said something to them, or, okay. Well, what we're going to do is just forgive. If there's anybody that we need to forgive, we're going to forgive them. So, Father, I choose to forgive that person who hurt me. And I want you to go ahead and be specific and actually forgive them for what they did. You know, I forgive you, Dad, for saying that I was ugly and no guy would ever want to date me. Or whatever it was that was said or was spoken that was hurtful for you in that moment. Thank you, Jesus. Some of you may need to forgive yourself. Some of you feel like, oh, I made some really stupid decisions. and you kind of keep beating yourself over the head with it. And so if you need to do that, go right ahead. Now I forgive myself for choosing that or going there or doing that thing. And some of you need to forgive God because you've been angry at him. I feel like some of you feel, why did you put me in my family, God? Why did you put me there? It was such a painful place to be. And you've kind of held that against him all your life. You know, God's not intimidated by our anger or by our pain. And actually, he wants us to be real about it, and he wants us to express it to him so that he can kind of take it off our shoulders. We don't have to carry it anymore. And lastly, I'm just going to ask, Father, is there anything I need to repent of? So why don't you just ask him that? Father, is there anything I need to repent for? Did I make any decisions? Did I close down my heart? And sometimes it will just come like a thought. You'll be like, wow, I don't remember this, but I can just feel like, oh, I'm never going to do this. Or, we've judged our parents, maybe like my dad was terrible with money. I'm never going to be like him. And now we're repeating the exact same pattern of things. You just break agreement with him, and that's just saying, I don't want to agree with this anymore, this is a lie, but I want to agree with truth. And so I would just speak out, I break agreement with that statement. For me, I broke agreement with that statement that I will never trust girls again.
For some of you, it may even be something as simple as, my vacations always suck. And God wants your vacations to be awesome. And that it doesn't need to suck anymore. And I also felt like there's maybe someone who, every time they compare themselves to their siblings, they always feel like they're constantly failing. And it's something to do with the way that they always kind of set them apart from their siblings, set themselves apart from their siblings as a child.
Yeah. And now what we want to do is actually ask the Father to come and fill us with his love, because we want to be rooted and grounded in love, and that's where we want to be getting our life from. So Father, I ask that you would come right now. Father, you would fill each of us here with your love, your presence. Father, would you come and heal every wound, every place of pain inside of us? Father, for those who felt stuck on that, he loves me, he loves me not way of life. Father, would you come and reveal your true love to them tonight? That your love is consistent, it doesn't change, it's always for us. Feel like, oh, this just sort of unlocks something, and this may be the part of the beginning of a journey with him, the beginning of a journey where he starts to kind of speak to you about some more things in your heart. And for me, I often, when I can feel I'm on one of those journeys with God, I just spend a lot of time soaking, just hanging out in his presence, putting some worship music on and just saying, okay, I'm here, speak to me, I want to listen to you today. Because that gives us space to really deal with the things in our heart. I know that Central won a whole bunch of encounter weekends. And if God is stirring in your heart, I would just so encourage you to keep going on the encounter weekend. This is not like a one-hit wonder, but this is a lifestyle where we can allow God to get at the fruit in our hearts.